right, family. Welcome to another episode of the Nurse Gideon Angle, the show by nurses for nurses and about everything that impacts nurses. As you all know, everything impacts nurses, right? You already know what the aim of this podcast is. My goal is to encourage, empower, and equip nurses to reach their peak performance. So I am your host, Gideon Asuzo. I have a very special guest today. Now, before I introduce this guest, I just want to say, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Nurse Gideon. I would love to hear from you guys. I want you to present to me ideas for the podcast. Anything you want to talk about, just shoot me a tweet and let me know. You know, fam, I believe nurses are leaders, whether they choose to accept that title or not. You know, think about it. Nurses orchestrate so much that goes into the care of patients, right? We have the conversations with the doctors and we execute those orders. You know, sometimes we need to call radiology and set up the appointment to go drop off the patients. We are leaders. Now, sometimes I don't think we acknowledge that enough. You know, when you think about leadership, you think about, oh, the nurse leader, the chief nurse officer, the executive. But I do believe that, you know, we as nurses are our leaders. That's why I'm so excited about today's guest, Demetrius Kirk, aka DJ. Demetrius has over 15 years of healthcare leadership and consulting experience. He has held roles as a regional vice president, chief administrative officer, executive director, and director of nursing. Demetrius holds the following degree, licenses, and certifications: an MBA in healthcare leadership, MSN, health nursing informatics, certification, Lean Six Sigma Green Belt, for crying out loud. I do know he's a member of SMK Medical, team of interprofessional healthcare consultants based in Michigan. You know, let me just stop there. DJ, welcome to the Nurse Gideon Angle. Before I continue, why DJ? Because your name is, what's your name? Demetrius Kirk Johnson?
No. So my name is Demetrius Kirk. So first, thank you for having me. Thank you for having a platform like this, because these platforms don't exist, right? So, you know, for the people that are not able to see what I see, I'm just honored and humbled to be here. But you say, why DJ? Well, it goes back, I'm 33, right? So it goes back 33 years. Apparently, my mom and dad thought they were going to get married. So they said, we're going to put Junior at the end of his day. They never got married. For his last name. So technically, I guess I'm not a junior, but that's where DJ comes from. It kind of stuck. 33 years later, they're still calling me DJ.
That's awesome. Good. Thank you for that. Because I was wondering, I was reading your bio, I was like, well, is Demetrius Kirk, why DJ? Okay, I got it. So tell the audience your journey in nursing. First of all, why nursing?
Oh, whew, that's a great loaded question. How much time you got, right? I tell people all the time, how much time? So the real quick, dirty version is I'm very competitive. And I was working at a store in Michigan. If you know the Michigan area, Ohio, Indiana, I worked at Myers, my very first job. And I was 17 and I had a friend who said, look, you know, we were making $5 at the time for the people that's watching it now. Yes, that was a livable wage, as they say back then, right? Making $5 an hour. And my friend said, hey, I'm gonna go be a CNA because they are starting off at $10 an hour. And I said, whoa, you mean I can double my income by going to school for 2 weeks? Say less. So I enrolled in the CNA program not knowing what a CNA was. I knew nothing. And he ended up not going, but it was the best decision I did. I enrolled in his program. And my first job, I was making $9.25 as a CNA back in 2007. Wow. And then from there, I just continued to excel up. You know, as a CNA, I worked in a group home. I'm very blessed that my first job was a group home because I was passing medications. I was doing wound care. I was cathing patients because in Michigan, if you're considered a direct care worker, CNA, you're able to do those things. So it was at that moment I was doing these skills and I was caring for a patient who had a trach and I was suctioning him. And he said, hey, how come when you suction me, you don't listen to my lungs? And I said, well, I'm just doing what they told me to do. I don't know. But it was in that moment I said, I'm never going to go in a patient room and do a task that I don't know why I'm doing it. And it was from there I became an LPN licensed practical nurse, went back shortly after I got my RN. And then like you, my friend, got that MBA that you got that MSc in nursing informatics, and then gained a host of other certifications, after my name to kind of, position myself better in the market.
Now, I'll tell you what, I think we were meant to connect. I'll say
Yes.
that because you're right. We do have very similar acronyms. And I don't know if this is public knowledge yet, but I believe you have aspirations to go even deeper, right? Starting soon, correct?
Yes. So it's not public. It wasn't public. It wasn't. My wife knows. And very few select people like the school. But yes, my journey into education doesn't stop, right? Like yourself, I'm an African American male. And as you start to enter in this field of into this field of nursing, you see that, okay, there are some African Americans in nursing. Okay, there are some female African Americans in nurses, but when are me and you males ever in the same room at the same time? I've worked at plenty of places, and they'll say, "Oh, I think you're so and so," or "I think you're so and so," and it's like, "No, there's two of us." Yeah, but I never see y'all at the same time. We do exist. So, I strive to be something that people can look up to and say it can be done. A little backstory about me, and I share this, when it's appropriate. I graduated high school in 2007 with a one GPA. That can be found on my LinkedIn. It's not a hidden
Wow.
feature. A one. I was
Wow.
number 70 out of 70. And I said it to say, you can't let your past dictate your future. Here I am getting ready to go for my doctorate in nursing practice, right? I hold two master's degrees. I am a registered or a licensed nursing home administrator, meaning I can run hospitals and long-term care facilities with a license to do so, right? You need a license to do so. So, I didn't let that one GPA impact who I am today, And to me, it gives me motivation, and I hope it gives other people motivation because the situation that you're in today, you can change. You're never stuck in your situation. This is not your current reality. Well, this is your current reality, but this doesn't have to be your future reality.
This is why I think you gotta be my brother because I actually learned, a lot of people don't know this, I learned how to read and write at age 9. Yeah, so I grew up in West Africa, most specifically Nigeria. So it wasn't until I was 9 that I actually started learning how to read and write. So the idea that I will be where I'm sitting, definitely proud of what I've been able to accomplish. The name of the game, to be honest with you, is resilience. And if you're listening to us right now, you've heard what this man just said. If you have a 1.0 GPA, you have a 2.0 GPA, and you're looking like you maybe perhaps comparing yourself with other people with a 4.0 GPA, don't do that, right? Resilience is the name of the game. You can still achieve much in life. So let me jump into this. So a lot of what you do right now is in healthcare leadership.
Yes.
How did you get into that?
So, I started off very young, 19. I ran a group home. I was working for that company as a direct care worker, and they had group homes. And I was promoted into a team leader role. Now, I like to say that I've always had some level of leadership in me. People have always come to me for guidance, support. I was always quick with it, right? But as I continued my path into nursing, to me, it was a natural progression because when I would look at the leaders I was reporting to, I often felt like I knew more or understood the situation better. So I started this pathway. I was a team leader, then I became an LPN, and then you get that title of charge nurse. They don't train you, they just give you the title of charge nurse and say, run the unit, right? And then now the CNAs report to you. Never told you how to oversee somebody, but now the CNAs report to you. And then from there, I was sitting, and I tell this story from time to time. I met a lady. I was doing home care, and she was RN giving me an LP and a patient. And I said, "Hey, my journey is to be in leadership. I love what I do, but I'm getting roadblocks because I'm an LPN, And she said, "Okay, well, that's nice. Well, let me give you this patient and let's see how you do." 2 weeks later, I get a call back from her, and she's like, "Hey, I just wanted to check on your patient and wanted to let you know your statement, your thoughts, your spirit stuck with me." I said, "Okay, then thank you. Thank you. Do you have another patient for me?" I'm thinking she's calling to give me another patient. Come to find out, this lady was the owner of the agency that I was working for, and I didn't know her, right? She had one patient. She don't see patients. We just luck of the draw. She said, look, I'm going to make a position for you in office. It's going to be a leadership title. You're going to come in as assistant director of nursing, director of quality, and all of that. And I'm going to train and I'm going to grow you and I'm going to mold you. And she did that. She trained me. The organization trained me. They molded me. They grew me. And they actually helped me go to RN school so I can become that director of nursing that I wanted to be. And I never forget, right, I tell people, I became a director. I went to RN school. I got my RN license. And I felt like right when I got it, they came and said, okay, there's only room for two of us in this, or one of us in this organization. You got to go. And essentially, it was like, so I can do this with the next person.
Wow.
I felt like that. That's how I felt. That's how I took it. So from there, as an RN, now I'm working as a director of nursing, unit manager, ADA, and I'm sitting in these meetings. And once again, I'm like, I can do that better. And I remember sitting in a room with an administrator and a patient fell and they hit their head. And the administrator said, well, why did you order x-rays? And we're like, because they're on Plavix, right? They're on Plavix or something. And that administrator didn't understand. You know, it was about cost. And I was like, oh, I have to sit in that seat so I can drive operational and clinical outcomes. I can marry the two because you can't just focus on operations. And you can't just focus on clinical outcomes because if you do, the patient's going to suffer. So from there, I went back and got my administrative license and then started running organizations because I felt like I was well suited to understand, to speak to particular outcomes. I understand if I take a dollar from here, I was going to impact clinical. I understand if I add an extra staff, I was going to impact the operational outcomes. So that's why leadership.
Wow, that is awesome. So SMK Medical.
Yes.
What is SMK Medical?
Yes. So SMK Medical is a full service healthcare consulting firm. We specialize in risk and compliance. Me personally, that's my area of expertise, risk, compliant, survey preparation, professional growth, leadership development. And with SMK Medical, we help organizations across the U.S., whether on site or remote, with improving their operational outcomes. So it can be operational and clinical outcomes. And we do that by having a team of experts that really understand the field. I know you sit in some areas and sometimes we can't see through the forest because we're in the forest. So it takes somebody to mm-hmm. be on the outside looking in and say, hey, turn left, stop going right. You know, that way it's not the right. If you just turn left, you're going to be off the forest, right? So I get to come in and bring that extra set of eyes to say, okay, hey, we could probably do this a little bit more efficiently and effectively.
That is interesting you said that because I remember my tenure with the FDA. So I was a drug investigator for the FDA for about 4 years. So
What don't you do?
I know, right? So I would go in and I'm in the midst of absolutely brilliant minds. I'm talking about the most brilliant minds in the pharmaceutical industry, right? And they're sitting in the room. They are just amazed at the findings of the inspection. I felt like I was a de facto consultant because I'm sharing with them, you know, my findings and giving them an opportunity to get better. And some of them was like, why didn't we think about that in the first place? So in a sense, I guess that's what you're saying in your role, you know, as a consultant, providing that insight. So my question to you is, what advice would you give that nurse that might be thinking about becoming a healthcare consultant one day?
So my advice to a brand new nurse versus advice to a person who has experience is brand new nurse, get your feet wet, learn how to be a nurse, learn how to find your way out of a paper bag. See, I tell this story loosely because the statute of limitations has ran out. I've made plenty of mistakes as a nurse, not even new, just as a nurse, right? If you meet a nurse and say they don't make mistakes, run no other way because
I know
they are careless and don't care. Yes. They're not honest with themselves. Mistakes. You need to get out your core mistakes right away, right? And don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to seek answers and guidance. So that's what you do as a new nurse. You don't think about consulting until you understand, because as a consultant, these companies are hiring you to come in as an expert, right? They're hiring you to come in to provide guidance on some issues that they're having. And it's just virtually impossible for you to come in and say, I'm an expert and I've been working for a day. You just don't know. You're still thinking that everything runs like the NCLEX. So you don't understand and can't provide real-world situations or real-world solutions to real-world situations. if you have experience and you want to step out, and when we talk about consulting, right, and this is, I need to get this on a shirt. If you're giving away knowledge for free, follow what I'm saying. If you're giving away knowledge for free, then you can give away knowledge for a fee. The only difference between fee and free is the R. Remove the R.
Mm.
Remove the R. What makes you a consultant is you having a knowledge and the expertise in a certain area. Everybody has different levels of knowledge and expertise. If you own something like you said, you were going in and doing these inspections, you're a consultant because I can't just do that. I'd go in there and start looking on the files and stuff and say, yeah, the chairs aren't pushed in. That's what I bring. But you bring a unique set of skills. And that's what makes you a consultant. So if you have a unique set of skills that others don't possess, or even if they do possess it, but they're not marketed in the way that you are, go ahead and do it. You know, what's a consultant? Well, a consultant is something that every consultant has given themselves. They've given themselves that title. There's no certification to say you're a consultant. There's no certification to say you're an expert. You know, there's certain things, you know, you get these certifications and license, but what really says that you're an expert at what you say, right? So as a consultant, your main goal is selling. You have to sell yourself that you can help this organization turn themselves around, prevent any kind of outcomes that they you know, don't want, right? So as a consultant, how I build myself is an expert in regulatory compliance. I understand the rules and regulations of CMS. I can help you prevent citations. And I tell people, right, because you've said in leadership roles, you can't accept no for an answer because you're going to knock on doors. They're all going to say no, but you have to get them to see why you're charging the way that you charge and why your services is worth it. Because they're very quickly, when you say you're a consultant, they want to put us nurses kind of in a box, right? They want to say, well, you're a consultant, but I pay my nurses $20 an hour. So you should be 22. And it's like, well, you don't get expert guidance for $22 an hour. That just doesn't happen. And so as a consultant, you have to, believe in what you sell and stand behind what you sell.
I think what I'm enjoying about this conversation is that we are giving nurses an opportunity to realize that you can do more than just be a nurse. Now, we do need the bedside nurse. Absolutely. You know, I was there. You were there. It is good to give yourself an opportunity to evolve and yes. to dream. You know, I've done... Yes. I mean, in the realm of nursing, you know, obviously I did ICU, CCU, ER, PACU, you know, electrophysiology. And then I jumped and joined the military and did flight.
So nursing, impressive. Right?
Now, I'm going to tell you this. I remember when I started working for the FDA as a drug investigator and people would ask me, so you're a nurse? I'm like, yeah, I'm a nurse. I have the background to be able to perform these inspections. I do. I have science background. And so whoever's listening right now, trust me, expand your mind, dream big, because trust me, you've been trained to be able to handle so much more than you can actually imagine, right?
Man, let me drop a nugget. Let me drop a nugget.
Go ahead, DJ.
So I am from Detroit, Michigan, born and raised, Livinois Davidson, if you know 313. So I told you I graduated with a one. In 2015, I was an LPN, and I came to Hawaii after my wife's graduation, and I promised her I'd take her to Hawaii, and when I got here, we fell in love with the island, and we set a five-year goal to move to Hawaii just from being here one time for 10 mm-hmm. days, mm-hmm. and when I got back home, people thought it was crazy. You're not doing it. You're not whatever. This is crazy. Who's going to move from Detroit, Michigan all the way to Honolulu, Hawaii, after being there for 10 days. Well, 2020 came around, and guess what? We didn't move. And I tell people, we didn't move. I tell people, well, here's why. Well, we both were working on our master's degree. We had saved all this money, but we were both working on our master's degree. I was working on my second master's, and my wife was working on her first. And we said, in 2021, we're just going to do it. Well, in 2021, we stepped out on faith. We moved here without a job. We moved here and we didn't have a house until a week before we were supposed to get here, thank God. But we stepped out on faith. And for the nurses who are thinking about, well, should I do it? You just remember DJ's journey. He stepped out on faith and moved across the country. And I've been here 2 years now and it has worked. See, I've never failed and you've never failed. You've always survived 100% of your worst days. So why not give it a try? The worst thing that you can do is go back to your current situation. The best thing that you can do is excel your current situation. And you don't know that unless you try.
This is so awesome. You essentially amplifying what this podcast is about. Courage, empowered, and equipped nurses to reach their peak performance. I used to hate nurses complain year after year about the same thing, and you've not done anything to maybe improve your status or do something yes. different. Just hear me out. Don't complain. Just be about your business. If you're there, you might be there for a season. Learn what you need to learn and give yourself room to dream and go for that dream and just take that step. You know, you just heard DJ say it. Like, I've done so much. But the funny thing about that, DJ, is I feel like I have so much to do and so much to give yet, right? So, because I have friends ask me, what are you doing right now? You already have an MBA and an MSN. What are you doing right now? Don't worry about it. The reality is, if I have the ability to move on something, I will definitely move on that. I do have a question for you. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? And I ask as a Black male nurse to another Black male nurse, where do you see yourself, sir?
That's a good question. You know, I work as a healthcare consultant, and I'd like to see myself continuing to live my best life. And my best life means I'm still living in Hawaii. I am providing a life for my daughter and my wife that's sustainable here in the highest place to live in the United States, right? We're still paying $5 a gallon of gas here. You know, I just looked at a gallon of milk, it was $8. So,
Lord have mercy.
Don't get me started on eggs. So my five-year plan is Demetrius doing what he wants to do. In 5 years, I will have my DNP, right? Because we speak things into existence.
That's right.
Now, I hope to have, we speak it into existence. As a professional coach, I will have additional people that I'm coaching for them to reach their greatness and sharing my story, right? And then I do a podcast myself called Sound Leadership with DJ, where I interview leaders and we talk about just all things leadership. So I'd love to see that continue to grow and excel. So 5 years from now, I will be 37. And I was just being a peak of my journey, right? I'm already a college professor. I'm going to continue to teach as BSN, accelerated BSN students. I just see myself continuing to grow. You mentioned something, right? We don't stay stagnant. And there's a reason we don't stay stagnant. One, because we can't stay stagnant. Mm-hmm. We're so much better than that. But, you know, to me, in order for me to grow, I have to stay moving. And technology changes every day. EBP changes every day. So I have to change and be adaptable. I can't sit in this box and say, I got my MSc and my MBA and all those other things like yourself, and I'll be okay. Because what you've learned when you graduated is already extinct. They've already made changes to technology. What I learned, I got my master's in nursing informatics. That was in 2-3 years ago. The data is already gone. AI has came out and wiped everything I knew about informatics out.
No, that's right.
So I have to adapt. So 5 years from now, I will be still adapting, still learning, still growing, and still empowering and encouraging others to be their best selves.
I hope that this encourages you to dream more. I really do. So I'm getting my DNP with a concentration in psychiatric mental health nurse practice.
Fire.
Now, so the reason why I wanted to get my psych MP, honestly, was because as a Black male, I wanted to serve the Black community. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that to say I don't care about any other community. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, there is a discrepancy when it comes to mental health in our community for a myriad of reasons. Now, obviously, I am for the people. You know, as they say in the streets, I am for the streets. Right? I'm for everybody. But I wanted to be part of the solution. I wanted to be part of eliminating stigma when it comes to mental health. And that's why I got into this space. So I say all that to say, you can still dream. Don't remain stagnant. I'm going to say that. Question. What is the most important lesson you've learned so far in your journey as a nurse and as a nurse leader?
Important lesson. I'm gonna step outside the box and not related to clinical. I'm gonna say I've gotten where I am now because I'm not afraid to ask for what I want. I will ask for what I want. I will speak up for what's right, whether it's for my patient or for myself. You can't be afraid to open your mouth and say, this doesn't make sense, or I need more money for the job that I'm doing. But at the same time, I learned to sometimes accept things that I generally will accept to better myself or better an outcome. So I'll say I was making more as a director in nursing. And for me to get into administration, I had to take a pay cut because it was my first time doing it. So what I had to do is accept something that I usually wouldn't accept to propel myself forward. So as a new nurse or as a nurse in general, be flexible, be malleable, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Never be minimized, whether it's from a physician, a family member, a friend, so-called friend, never be minimized. Like you said, people ask, why are you doing this? As long as you understand the purpose of your journey, keep going down that road because you are responsible for you.
Yo, family, you heard the man. Shout out to DJ. DJ and I met in one of those Facebook platforms, and we just hit it off. This is a good brother. He has certainly been a blessing to me because he has inspired me. As black males, it's not a lot of us doing this, trying to elevate and do more in nursing. It's not a lot of us doing this. So I really appreciate this brother. I'm definitely going to have him back on this platform for sure. I end this episode by quoting words from Norman Vincent Peale. Norman Vincent Peale said, change your thoughts and you change your world. Change your thoughts and you change your world. So family, believe in your ability to lead today and tomorrow. You know, I love y'all. Until next time, be well.